Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review Freaky, or Freaky, or how else should we say that?
Freaky!
As always, John will give us the plot in five words, give our first thoughts, and then we go to deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to do a little mini review of The Suicide Squad, per John's request.
The Suicide Squad. So,
and it, I mean, it's not like you requested it, you're pulling my arm to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I was going to watch it either way. Because if anybody knows, I'm a DC fanboy, so.
There you go. Also, we say Freaky because we are closer to Vince Vaughn's age than we are to any of the other characters in the movie.
Oh, God.
That's why we say Freaky. We're way closer to his age.
Yeah, he was like our... I don't know. He was like the cool guy when we were growing up, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're like, hey, we relate to that guy. Ah, shit.
Come to find out, he's not so great. All right. So, mini review of The Suicide Squad.
Yes. What did you think?
I thought it was great. Yeah. I loved it.
I loved it too.
I am. Come to find, you know, I really loved it because it's just irreverent. It's funny. It's violent. It's, you know what I mean? There's a pretty good story overall, I think, with it. And the fact that they use so many like really shitty DC villains in it and they use them in like interesting, thoughtful ways. I mean, this really should have been what the first Suicide Squad movie should have been.
Absolutely. yeah. I mean, just like I was talking to somebody about it last night, and I think one of the concerns a few people had was like, it's just a little weird because there wasn't any real character development. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how it's set up in the comics, too. They're just there to die. That's the whole point of the Suicide Squad.
Right.
That's supposed to be the point of the Suicide Squad. But I think like that first movie really fucked it up because too many people stayed alive. There was all this like camaraderie going on. They're good guys now. It's like that never happens.
No, yeah, it doesn't. It took somebody from I guess it just shows how talented James Gunn has gotten.
Yeah.
According to him, he said that this is like his most unrestricted movie. It's the movie he feels most proud of or closest to what he envisions or what he tries to accomplish with other movies. So
nice. Okay.
He feels like this is his most.
And Zack Snyder, do you understand now?
We'll never get a gun cut or something like gun blazing's director cut or whatever the fuck stupid name you want to give it. So this is his vision through and through. So I mean, aside from my only criticism, I feel like Harley Quinn doesn't have anything to do for most of this movie.
Yeah.
It focuses more like on Bloodsport and that spoiler that's for second group of Suicide Squad team members. More than the first people we meet.
Which is so perfect. I'm like, this is how the first movie should have began too. Like, most wonderful 15 minutes.
Yeah, of an opening. Yeah, absolutely.
And then I didn't know. I guess let's talk about it later. But Steve Agee doesn't only just play the guy, the command center guy. He actually had a role throughout the movie.
Yeah, yeah, he was the guy who played King Shark, right?
Oh yeah, we can get a little away, right? He's in the trailer.
that's not a spoiler. Yeah. I mean, that's just.
Seems to be a spoiler is people don't know that Sylvester Stallone provided the voice.
Yeah. Was it my fiance and I, we watched it and this morning She was like, so that was Sylvester Stallone? I was like, yeah, that was Sylvester Stallone as like, the King Shark.
I mean, when you're paying attention to him, it sounds like Sylvester Stallone. Sounds like Sylvester Stallone doing like a Rocky just got knocked out and woke up impression.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's really good. And I think he was like game. He basically, James Gunn said, like, I have this part for you. And from what I read, the Sylvester Stallone was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Whatever you want me to do.
So. Nice, yeah. Kind of like, I keep fucking calling him Tim Gunn. What's James Gunn's brother's name?
I don't know. Let's see. Hold on.
Oh my God. It's like, Sean Gunn. I don't know. Why I keep forgetting. I keep calling him Tim Gunn, and it's like, no, he's not going to make it work. Sean Gunn.
Did you get the, I mean, did you get the little reference to the, he also played the prisoner that he also played Calendar Man.
Yeah. I was like, that's cool. I like
that. Cool too. Yeah.
I hope he comes back. Well, this is supposed to be a standalone.
Right. Yeah.
Supposed to be. I mean, I believe it. I don't think James Gunn would come back to it.
Right. Well, yeah. I don't see a sequel. He could, but
maybe, I mean,
you never say
could,
no.
Cause but... he could potentially. Yeah. Cause I could see him just killing everybody again. I mean, not that that happens.
Fuck.
Shit, the movie.
I like that
it
did
squad.
That. Nobody's safe, right? Like, everybody's like, they established that very early. Like, there's no, everybody's game for death. I don't know if we should give away the one death, the one I'm pretty sure you were heartbroken about early in the movie.
Early in the movie. Oh, is it everybody's early favorite sci-fi darling?
Yes.
Because his death was like one of the most fucking hilarious things in the movie for me was, are we talking about Nathan Fillion?
No.
Oh, okay. But his whole, everything about what he did was like the fucking funniest thing. And he had shared a BTS clip like a couple of days before the movie came out, and it's just him like holding his arms back and doing that shuffle motion. And it's like a 30-second clip of him doing that. It's so stupid.
Yeah. You know, I think I was talking about the
Aussie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was bummed about that. Yeah. But I was also like, that's cool. The way you...
I remember you just being really high on him in the first one. So I was like, I know we're talking around it, but I remember you liking him in the first one and stuff like that. So I was like, oh.
Yeah, because
so for him,
I don't know why I was
for
like,
him to go out. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know why, like, that actor, like, I don't know if he's had a rough go of it or, like, honestly, he's just not as good as I think he is, which might be the truth. But I enjoy watching him and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, but yeah.
Idris Elba was fucking great in this too.
Idris Elba was fucking fantastic. I mean, everybody was great in this movie, I thought. John Cena, I feel like, finally had his fucking, that like one role where he just like let himself do it.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like really immersed himself in it because he was so funny. Michael Rooker was really funny. I mean, his character wasn't funny, but he was really funny.
I felt like John Cena just barely pulled it off. I was a little like, eh.
Oh, but, really?
But I liked, I mean, I understand. I like what he did with the character. You could tell he's having a lot of fun. I think I could see that through everybody. Everybody seemed like up for whatever James Gunn had for them. You know what I mean? Like, everyone seemed like on the same page. They're all making the same movie. You know, no egos. It seemed like, you know. But
and I like how they introduce like a very famous villain, especially like a very famous Flash villain. I mean, there's several Flash villains in this, right? It's like almost the Flash's rogue gallery. But they introduce like a really famous villain, and honestly, he does very little in the movie. He's in it for most of it, and I'm gonna say one of the doctors. I'll just say that because he was a doctor, Doctor Who for like a little while.
He was the doctor,
But like, I was like, oh shit, what are they gonna do with him? And it's like, oh, nothing.
Like, They'll probably do like another Birds of Prey movie or something, right? That's where the next Harley Quinn thing is going to go.
I would say so, yeah. And Margot Robbie is pushing very, very heavily to have an on-screen romance with Poison Ivy finally.
That'd be good. You got to cast the right person, you know, not Uma just some Thurman, random.
Duh.
Uma Thurman. Yeah, I don't know.
What? How are you still alive? Rubber lips. Like, oh, Robin got you. If anybody remembers that movie.
Yeah. No, nobody remembers it. No. Probably.
The Ice Age. Everybody freeze. I don't know. Maybe I should rewatch it.
I think my only regret is I saw this on HBO Max. I would have loved to have seen this in a theater, I think.
Yeah.
This would have been
a
good one. To check out.
Should we just spoil it real quick?
Let's just spoil it. It comes out in four weeks.
Yeah.
Like in a month.
Yeah, that whole opening sequence where you're like, oh, Michael Rooker is playing, what's his name?
Savant?
Savant, yes. Who's like also a very minor character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, also in the comics, Savant is a lot younger. Sorry, Michael Rooker. Yeah, that whole opening sequence and Amanda Waller again, perfectly cast, like one of the most perfectly cast parts in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then like him introducing the rest of the team, and you got fucking Pete Davidson as Black Guard, right? Which at this point the kid, like I think he's talented, but he also annoys the shit out of me, so I'm glad that he's the first person to get his face blown off. That made me really happy.
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion plays, they call him the detachable kid, but the actual character's name is what?
They just initial it, don't they? Like DMF or something.
Or TDK.
But the
detachable kid's actual name in the comics is something else.
Oh, I don't know.
Something even more... okay, maybe it isn't. Because I watched Comics Explained. Not Comics Explained. Yeah, Comics Explained. Yeah. Because I was like, cheater. Who the hell is this character?
Yeah. I thought he was just like a made-up character for the movie. I didn't know. That's a really deep cut for me.
Yeah. And again, like, I think the character's name is something like even more like dumb and a little bit more complicated.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. And then how James Gunn decided to use like not the human weasel, but the like new, is the animal weasel New 52? Is it past that?
I don't know. That's another weird character.
Yeah, which like
I didn't know anything about.
Like, I think the weasel actually talks in the comics. I'm glad that they made him like a, he's more of an animal.
Weird creature. Yeah.
Fucking funny. And then you got that comedian, the shit, what's his name? He played Javelin.
Javelin, yeah.
I mean, it's just know. Like such a great, like solid cast.
The Javelin I'd heard of. Yeah, the Javelin guy I've heard of. Yeah. But everybody else in that first like team of Suicide Squad members, I had never heard of before. I've never heard of
them. Or like what? Mongal is just Mongol's daughter, I think.
Oh, makes sense.
I guess that quick. Yeah. But yeah, it's just so funny to see them all fucking die right away.
Just <amazing. laughs> die horrifically.
Yeah. Oh, my internet connection is unstable.
Oh no.
And we're back.
We stable again?
We are stable, but I'm on a bad 1 second. Technical difficulties. We'll be right back. Cue that music, please.
We don't have music.
Oh shit. It's just let me see statistics. No, I'm still doing pretty good. Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all those people dying. Oh, I will say I was a little surprised they killed off Rick Flag.
Yeah, that was a bit of a not something I expected either.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense because he didn't really feel like he was as part of the main group.
Kind of like Margot Robbie, right?
Yeah, she didn't. Yeah. Really seemed like she was part of the main group either, like at first.
And
Rick Flag's the one that wanted to save her because they had teamed up previously. They were like quote unquote friends.
Which was also weird. So James Gunn was nice enough to recast these people as the same character, but in the grand scheme of things, these two movies do not connect.
No, yeah, yeah.
Which is, yeah, because I like what they did with Jai Courtney's Captain Boomerang, where they made him a little more, like, he's a little more modern day thug, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's, yeah, like, shittier. But yeah, like, Harley Quinn and he have like a friend relationship too, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All kind of, I think, just allusions to the past movie.
And like that. The three of them are friends, even though they're, you know, Rick Flagg's supposed to be a good guy and those two are like super bad people.
That's true. I guess Rick Flagg's like good guy thing near the end kind of made sense because it was like, he was on the Suicide Squad, but he's not a villain. He's not like a,
no, yeah, he's supposed to be just like the leader, or I guess, right?
Yeah, the kind of military handler of them.
Which I liked this version. Also, holy fuck, like he gained like how much poundage of fucking muscle between this one and the first movie. He was like fucking huge. Yeah. He was like John Cena huge almost. I liked the way the character was portrayed more in this movie than the first one, where he's like obsessed with like saving his fucking wife or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing in that movie worked.
That's yeah. The same movie. And this one was a lot cooler. Like, no, I got to save my friend, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I like how, okay, so the only two people that survive that opening sequence are Harley Quinn and Rick Flagg. And when Rick Flagg gets like, you don't realize he gets saved in the jungle and Idris Elba.
Yeah.
And they go through that like kill off, like who can kill people cooler. And they massacre this entire fucking, like, it looks like an outpost for camp. The bad guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They get to the front and you realize that they're all rebels fighting for their side. And like, oh.
That was a good, that was funny. That was a good moment. Yeah. Because they're doing that fucking...
More than several.
Yeah. They're doing that fucking Legolas Gimli thing and trying to out kill one another for competition.
Yeah, and I gotta say, like, more than several times in this movie, I fucking cracked up super hard.
It's, yeah.
A lot of ridiculousness. Like, when Harley Quinn... When they pull her out of like that pit and they tell her to put the dress on and she finally looks in the mirror and she's like, I'm a princess. And it's like, there you go. This is the Harley Quinn I've been waiting for. And then like they have that whole like romantic montage with the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then he finally goes off and talks about his plan. And then like she shoots him. And then she goes through this whole like, you know, I got to be stronger for myself. And like, I got to be my own person and blah, blah, blah. I can't let toxic men in my life anymore. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so fucking good.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, and then fucking David, what's his name? Polka Dot Man. I forgot what the
Polka character. Polka Dot Man, yeah.
But the actor's name is David. I forgot his last name.
David.
Pete Davidson.
Pete David.
David, we'll get your last name, David, promise. And then extended cut, David Dast Malchian.
Yep, nailed it.
That guy, what, like everybody remembers him from The Dark Knight first, probably.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in Dune.
Is he the same actor from Ant-Man? Am I crazy? Or?
No, yeah, he's one of the helpers, the guy that's like Russian or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. Scared of the Baba Yaga.
Yeah. And then he plays Abracadabra in The Flash.
Oh, nice. He did. I did see that. That was cool.
And he's kind of like a, what is it, like a friend of a friend of a friend? Like Ali kind of knows him. Ali Naqvi.
Oh, really? And I didn't know that.
He's got like an interesting little past. So he's like 40 something, I think. 44 or something. And I think all of his 20s were spent doing heavy drugs. So he almost like lost everything and then he quit and then he decided to go full on in acting and now he's like a fucking success story.
Awesome. Good for him. Yeah.
Because hell yeah, he's like definitely one of the best parts of the movie too.
Mm-hmm.
His character was so great. Yeah, good movie. Highly recommend.
Yeah, same. I think this is really, do you think this is the best DCU movie?
Yes. I think so, which is kind of a bummer because it's kind of like it's not saying much.
What is that supposed to mean?
Because if you compare this to like maybe the first Wonder Woman, like this movie's probably a little bit better.
I don't know. I think I like the first Wonder Woman more. And you know what? I'm going to say I think I like Shazam more.
Oh, that's a good point. Shazam is very, very good.
Because I think it played so into what that character is.
Yeah, you know what? I have to agree. I forgot. Forgot about Shazam. Also because it feels a lot removed from the rest of the movies.
Yeah, and I feel like this... I'm not surprised this works because I feel like James Gunn has like a proven track record with this sort of movie. I feel like he could make this sort of movie in his sleep. You know what I mean? He can make this sort of movie in any universe.
Group of misfits.
And it's something he does well. Like, I feel like this is his type of movie he would make. So I'm not too surprised. I enjoyed it. But I think Shazam, is probably the one I like the most.
Yeah, I agree. That one's a really good one. I forgot about that one.
I think people kind of sleep on that one because I remember it being, was it popular? I don't know if it was as popular or like as successful, but at the time, but
I feel like it wanted to be popular, but then that's also like, it's kind of tough. I don't know if it's because people knew who Iron Man was and then it didn't matter what the next Marvel movie was going to be. It's like, oh, if it's as good as Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then the DCEU had like a rough start because all the like good DC movies aren't a part of the DCEU. you know?
Yeah. Well,
and then when it when it finally got to like Shazam, I think at that point they're like, oh, they're just trying to be like Marvel. Cause I don't think that many people know who Shazam is.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing they did so excellently in Iron Man, if I remember correctly, was they made Iron Man it's a really well constructed action movie, right? Funny, you know, has all the blueprint of what these Marvel movies are is in that movie. But what they did well was that they put that stinger where you have Sam Jackson talk about the Avenger Initiative, right? So even if you didn't know what the Avengers were, the person next to you is like, oh my God, I can't wait for the Avengers, right? And then they did a good thing in not like over explaining anything and they left it up to like the audience. So a group of your audience would be like, this is going to be so cool if they do the Avengers. And then everyone's like, what's that? And then it kind of snowballed after that.
Yeah, that's true. And then it's kind of a hard sell for Shazam. It's like, oh, it's this kid who gets this like talisman. And then he turns into a superhero and it's like, oh, that's kind of dumb. Like, it's got to be a dumb character. And it's like, no, this kid can beat the shit out of Superman.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
he's like one of the only people.
I think they did a good job of not making Shazam like, it should be for kids. It should be for like, but I think they did a good job of balancing like family friendly action, sort of popcorn movie kind of audience on top of like the sort of kid inherent, like, kid movie aspects of it as well that would appeal to kids, right? Like, oh, you would become a superhero, which I think is cool. I think that movie did a lot right. I don't know if it's gotten like the credit it deserves, but I don't know. I know it's getting a sequel, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Also, I gotta point out how impressive it is that Mark Strong has finally transitioned into being like a bad guy for like kid movies too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like the perfect bad guy for like a teen movie. Yeah, but he's also the perfect bad guy for like a raunchy movie.
He was on a kick of just being cast as like the bad guy for stuff for franchises that never took off, right? Like he was just like Sherlock miscast. Holmes,
I think was the first big one.
Yeah, and the Green Lantern, he was Sinestro.
Oh, that's right.
That was so bad.
The movie fucking.
Yeah.
But then he was a good guy in, what are those movies? Another graphic novel series where that kid gets recruited into like the secret service in England. The Knights, the Kingsmen.
Kingsmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I forgot what that was called.
Yeah.
There you go. Mark Strong playing a, like an Alfred character.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Did you have anything else before we turn this faucet off and we turn on the horror movie faucet. Yeah,
where we were talking, we just went into DC again, didn't we?
Shit. Yeah, we did.
No, that was, I just highly recommend the movie. It's fucking hilarious. Keep an eye out for the post credits because a fan favorite, I'm sure, will come back.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. But yeah, no, same here. It's an excellent movie. It's like a great summer blockbuster movie. And I think if you can watch it in the theater safely, I would. I definitely would. If not, HBO Max, I think they're doing a great thing by just releasing them
right
pretty much the week of. All right, let's get into our main review of Freaky.
Of Suicide Squad, the first
Suicide
one.
Suicide Squad.
No. It sucks. Right,
that was the main review. Here's our video review of... I remember when we were a horror movie podcast. I don't know if you...
Yeah, well, I'm talking about a horror movie. It's called Suicide Squad with Will Smith, and Robbie, and Jack Courtney, and other actors. Shit.
Didn't we watch that together?
Yeah, we went to the Pacific, which is no longer around.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's funny. I forgot. I just remembered that. Oh, shit. Okay. All right, John. Do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
I sure do. All right. Let's see how good these are. Like, let me just go with the two bonus real quick. I have, for the first bonus, True Life, Killer Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
And then for the second bonus, I'm just stealing what the original title of the movie was supposed to be, Freaky Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
That was supposed to be the original title of the movie.
That's a great title.
And they stuck with Freaky because of, I guess I understand why. But... All right, coming in at number 4, Vince Vaughn goes full Biden.
Full Biden?
Yeah, it's a spoiler for what happens towards the end of the movie.
Oh.
He's in the back seat with somebody else.
Oh.
It's a spoiler moment in the movie.
Okay, yeah, I gotcha.
But that shit made me laugh really hard. Because let me just say right now, Vince Vaughn goes full on... Like, some of the mannerisms don't make sense because he's, like, a big guy. Like, he's very large compared to the actress he's supposed to be portraying. But I thought he did a fucking great job. Coming in at number 3, really happened to Lindsay Lohan. So this is... in case you're wondering what happened to her.
Yeah. This is a documentary.
The dagger itself is actually supposed to represent Hollywood.
Oh, God.
And big producers. No, I'm just kidding.
You got to stay off Reddit. It's a Reddit thing.
I read that off Twitter and Facebook. Okay. Coming in at number 2, Vince Vaughn, Oscar baiting again.
Oh, hell yeah. I agree.
And coming in at number 1, super ugly girl becomes attractive. Because she's so hideous, right?
Yeah.
They're going to bully her because she's weird, I guess.
Because she's awkward, yeah.
Yeah, another one of those miscasts, like, it doesn't matter how awkward this young lady is, she's, like, really hot. She's very pretty, so it's like, fucking, she's all that over here. Oh, that would have been a good one. Damn it. It's like fucking, it's fucking she's all that. There you go.
bonus
number 1, fucking she's all that again.
Cool. So what is what's your first thoughts? Sounds like you liked it.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was really funny. It was a lot funnier than I thought it was gonna be. And of course this was like all credited to fucking Vince Vaughn is hilarious.
I think he does such a great job. Vince Vaughn, Vince Vaughn, he's always had, he's had like a real up and down career of late, but this is sort of what the Vince Vaughn I remember. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Charismatic, just having a lot of fun in a movie. You know what I mean? I feel like the more he became, the more he worried himself with becoming like a movie star and starring in these big, you know, comedies, quote unquote, big studio comedies. I feel like that got away from like what was generally interesting about him early on when he was doing, was it Swingers and Maid and working with John Favreau and stuff. I think this was a really nice, unexpected, you know, nice performance from somebody who's been kind of off my radar for a very long time. But I really liked the film. I thought it was a fun movie. Like it had, you know, really cool like slasher moments to other, it referenced slasher movies really well. I thought it had nice comedy. Like you said, I found it funnier than I thought it would be, considering the idea of like a Freaky Friday switch body thing. And it had like good moments. Like it was kind of funny, had some nice scary moments, good dialogue. I mean, for the most part, good story elements. This was a really well-made movie.
I thought it was really well-made too. And I was telling my partner, like, here you go again. This is like the difference between like a highly produced Blumhouse and like the Blumhouse I get asked to work on.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Like cut that budget to like a tenth of what they gave this movie, because this movie was like great. And it's also got a pretty solid like opening, cold open.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah, it's totally like the way they just reference Friday the 13th, Jason. Basically, he's like a Jason-like killer. And even some of the murders or whatever were very similar to you would see in a Jason movies. You know what I mean? Like
They died. Jason Michael Myers and all the slashers, really.
Yep.
And then I like how he is obviously very strong, almost like this unstoppable force.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then carries that mentality onto like the young lady he like swaps bodies with. And then it almost doesn't work. Right.
He has to like rethink it, 'cause he doesn't have that power or whatever strength he had previously. Yeah. Which is really, that was a nice moment. There's like moments like that, I think, through the whole movie. It's a very like self-aware movie, but not like referential, you know, like it's not trying to like purposely copy things, you know what I mean? Like it does the slasher bits in the beginning, but they're done really well, and they seem like they were done in the spirit of, they weren't trying to like poke fun at it or laugh at it, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah, because he really did seem like he was obviously a very menacing force at the beginning of the movie. You're like, oh fuck. And like, you can tell it's Vince Vaughn, because Vince Vaughn's like cadence is like very familiar at this point. So there was like no surprise reveal for me, also because like I knew he was supposed to be the bad guy. But it was still kind of like, yeah, Vince Vaughn is a very imposing figure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't try to piss him off. Let's put it that way. I thought it was a fantastic film. I'm trying not to spoil stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think I thought the comedy worked, which I wasn't. I feel like you get, when you do comedy, there's two ways you can go, right? You can go, you know, the first Scream movie or like the last Scream movie, right? Like the Scream 3 or Scream 2, where it's just like, where Scream was done in a way where it was paying homage to horror movies and then sort of being self-aware. And I think this movie was self-aware, but constructed them and tried to like make them as realistic as possible. Try to make the Freaky Friday movie they wanted to make and the slasher movie also, but treating both with a level of respect instead of being cutesy and think like, oh, look at our idea, look how cute it is or whatever. That's kind of like less creative, I think. And I think it did a really smart job.
I thought so too. Yeah. And I think it's, I thought they did a great job just piggybacking off of what you were saying, realizing, and we kind of talked about it already, but realizing a 6'5" person swapping personalities with a, how tall is she?
Probably
5'5". So there's a full foot difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, my God. So wait, you're what, like 6'2"?
6'2", yeah. Yeah, 6'3", actually.
6'2", and Candy is 5'5"?
Yeah.
Ish.
Four? I should know. I guess I should know. I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't but.
Imagine. You're. It's evident that you're taller than her when you stand next to her.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Imagine if you're 3 inches taller.
Yeah.
Now swap personalities and try to walk around. I thought it was great. Like Vince Vaughn keeps like bumping into shit because he's like,
where he doesn't know his own strength and he's like trying to fight his friends off and he's like hitting them brutally, like attacking them. Yeah, and he's stuff. Like, yeah. That was funny. Yeah.
Oh my God. There's so many scenes. Should we just get into some spoilers real quick?
Well, what did you think of Newton's? What did you think of Catherine Newton's performance? She's also like the
yeah. I was impressed by her interpretation of Vince Vaughn's bad guy, especially because mm-hmm. you don't hear Vince Vaughn talk until they swap personalities already. I think.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. you don't actually hear him talk as a bad guy until the very end. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing. Shit. Is that a spoiler? I mean, it could have been a tape recording. They found old tape recordings of Vince Vaughn labeled Jimmy Goose. Wait, what?
No, nobody would do that.
I thought she was great. And also, I like her performance in pretty much anything I've seen her in.
Yeah, the only other thing I'd seen her in was the Pikachu movie, and I was left with no impression of her. I like the movie, but I was not like, I didn't really see anything that's like out of the normal. So when I saw she was in this, I was like, oh, okay, I know who that is. I've never seen anything else. And I was surprised. I was really happy with, really enjoyed her performance. It was really nice. It was good.
You should try to catch her in. So you haven't seen Blockers yet?
I have seen Blockers.
Okay, yeah. She's, I think, John Cena's daughter, I think.
Oh.
Is that her? I think so.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Pretty sure you're right. Yeah.
Just trying to get
again,
the kids movie.
Yeah. I don't remember her. That was actually a pretty decent movie. I like that one, too. That's
funny. Everybody should watch it so they can watch John Cena, beer bong. Butchug. Butchug a beer bong. He's so fucking funny.
Spoiler. To like 4-year-old movie or something. Yeah.
She was great. I thought Celeste O'Connor was great, even though they didn't really give her too much to do, honestly.
She's just a friend. Yeah. She's just a friend in the piece. Yeah.
Because they gave Misha Ostrovich, they played Josh, the like gay best friend. Which at the beginning was kind of like, oh, this is just like stereotypical gay friend. But as the movie progressed, I was like, oh, okay, there's like a lot to this character. This is really funny.
Yeah. They had a nice moment with the mom character, right? Like the way they both were like over performance theater people, you could tell. Like, that was really funny.
Yeah. Yes. Because we haven't gotten into spoilers yet, right? Because that whole scene was very, very funny.
Yeah, we can get it to spoilers.
Okay.
All right, let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No! Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So that moment, at this point, they'd already like caught the
butcher,
but stuck in the girl's body, and they had like tied her up. They're like, Josh, you go ahead and you stay behind and look after my body. And he's like, me?
Yeah.
And I'm referring to Josh as he, but Misha Ostrovich, I am aware of their pronouns, just so we're all clear.
I like the first line where they were like, it was a fucking massacre. They say something like that when you first meet them. It was super, I thought that was super funny. Like, it just nailed the character and everything.
Oh, man. Yeah, all the high school drama. Like, it was so funny. Yeah. It was good. It was
really good.
It is one of those movies that, like, it wouldn't, it has to horror movie a couple of times at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
or else the movie wouldn't progress. Like, there is a moment where it's like, oh, obviously there's like a massacre going on. There's like a serial killer. But let's go ahead and keep having like homecoming football game and dance. And like, yeah, let's exactly. leave this like poor girl by herself. Cause that's what a school would do. Right. Like yeah. you're on your own.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't know about that. And then when like the lights magically turn on and the butcher is like right behind her, I'm like, how did he fucking turn on the lights?
Horror movie logic. It's not yeah. like, but yeah, I mean, this movie's good. I thought it had a solid thing, even though it has kind of like bullshit, like setup of a fucking magical doohickey kind of knife or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't really explain its origin. I think there's some allusions to some Aztec shit or something.
Like, yeah, Mayan, like ritual
Mayan,
sacrificing yeah. or.
Sure. You know, that stuff was kind of like, that's just like, you know, like just whatever, the thing, the catalyst to get to do the body swap or whatever.
But yeah, so. I appreciate that wasn't as important as a character developing. Wow, I didn't compare this to Face Off and I'm disappointed in myself, but a character developing, right? As a different person.
Yeah.
So all the character development for this young lady happens all through Vince Vaughn throughout the movie, which is really funny because Vince Vaughn has to like really try to play meek. Like he doesn't overdo the feminine part of his personality too, which I thought was kind of was good. Like he didn't he didn't go full on Jack Black and Jumanji.
That's a hard balance, right? Because anytime you know you're asked to play the opposite sex, people tend to go big, right? They go way over, thinking they need to compensate it for, you know, maybe really high pitched voice, maybe they like tiptoe, kind of like, you know, very like easy, obvious ways to perform it. And I thought Vince Vaughn did a really good job of finding a middle ground between those things, right? Like,
so it wasn't too cheesy, it wasn't too campy, it was just like fun. It was very fun. And then he makes out with a teen boy in the back of the
He did.
I fucking watched that scene I think 3 times because I couldn't like that, because that kid, I forgot what that actor's name is, Nicholas Stargell, he plays the Isaac character, he did a fucking fantastic job too. Like, everybody was acting their asses off in this, I felt. Mm-hmm. But it was hard to unglue my eyes from Vince Vaughn's, like, mannerisms and him playing, like, coy and nervous because he's about to, like, kiss the boy because the girl was, like, in love with this boy in high school. Yeah, and then they finally get to make out. It's like, what the fuck am I watching?
No, yeah, that was... One little thing I loved is, it made me really laugh, was it's a tall person thing. It's like, can you move your seat up? So maybe doesn't know you're tall and you got a small back seat. Don't put tall people there.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause they're going to have all kinds of like, their knees are going to be up their nose, you know? So that was just a funny little throwaway joke. I think, you know, worked for me, but,
Cause you're tall. And I'm tall. I wouldn't know that. I'm so average height that everything works for me.
And he even looked awkward in the scene you were speaking of when he has the kiss with the guy. Like, he's like, his legs are like way up. Like, he's totally like smushed in the back of that car.
He's smushed, but I like how he just like committed to like pretending to like he's this young lady. And then I guess there's a lot of trouble at home because their dad left. Or their dad died.
Sure. Yeah, that was unclear to me also. Yeah, he's not there. Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem to matter because, okay, so the older sister becomes a cop, and then she's very distant to the family, and then the mom is trying too hard to connect to her youngest daughter, but she's an alcoholic now, right? Like, she just goes to work and then gets drunk, and then that's why she doesn't get picked up from the football game because your mom got drunk, fell asleep.
Right, right.
But then, like, when she's already Vince Vaughn, and Vince Vaughn, they go to a clothing store to try to get him a different outfit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then that happens to be the clothing store she worked at, which is also one of those like horror movies got a horror movie or movies got a movie, because it's like, I'm sure there's like a billion different places he could have gone. But that whole conversation they have through the door where the mom's trying to help who she thinks, like, oh, this Vince Vaughn guy, like, oh, do you need help like with a polo or whatever? And then Vince Vaughn pretending to be this young girl has this like heart to heart with her. And mm-hmm. then, unfortunately, she doesn't understand because she's supposed to be a grown man that this is coming off as, like, a little flirty.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it almost went back to the future right there.
Yeah, and I think they did a strong job of, this is definitely, like, a feminist movie.
Yeah.
Because they put the power into the head of the woman now as the murderer. Kind of flip it a little bit. And there also was, like, they didn't dance around like, you know, like LGBTQ characters. Like, there were a lot of allusions to, like, you know, men kissing men, women being attracted to each other. You know what I mean? There was a lot of like, very freely talked about that. So I think those were like, it was really cool the way they just switched the normal roles, right? Like Vince Vaughn would be the murderer and she, of course, would be like the lead, the sort of whatever, final girl, as they call it now. And I like that they flipped it, right? So the woman is playing the part and he gets to be the sort of victim in the whole piece. So that was an unexpected turn.
And like another, I think, major thing, aside from like developing relationships, which is like, oh, that's like in every movie, right? But like with her mom or with the friends or blah, blah, blah. I like how this character, who is also considers herself weak and like can't get anything done, is having trouble like getting through life, and all it took was being in something, in a body where it's like you should feel unstoppable and you should try to do something, but it doesn't change anything, it doesn't change who she is, like even with all that like new found power, it doesn't fucking matter. And I really like that part of that message of the story too.
Definitely,
because at the end when she realizes it doesn't matter, which I thought, like, I wasn't sure how to feel about that ending. And then I was like, nah, that's pretty good. Okay. Yeah. Cause it doesn't matter what happens after, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, she got her closure. And I mean, that's the best way to say it, because the very last scene is like, but yeah. Oh, wait, we can spoil it, right? Like, so Vince Vaughn doesn't
die.
How did they think they killed him?
They shot him in the arms.
Oh, so yeah. And then
did a lot of this, a lot of shoulder moving, getting shot in the arms.
And then he's in the ambulance and he like wakes up, right, and kills them. So that's very Halloween. And then he shows up at the house and is like kind of talking down to her, being like, so I know why you felt so weak, because you're weak and blah, blah, blah. And then basically she turns around and like stabs him right in the gut and kills him. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot what her last line is, but it was like, yeah, that's the way it should end. You're right. Like, there's no more fluff to it.
It's freaky. Yeah, it worked really well. Cool. Did you have any last thoughts for going to rate it?
How come Alan Ruck is always getting cast as like these major assholes now?
Who?
Alan Ruck. What's his name from Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Cameron?
Oh, yeah. That guy was a dick.
He played like the shop teacher.
Yeah. And
even though like that was another one of those moments where the butcher had already transferred to the girl's body and she's trying to kill him, or the butcher's trying to kill him, but Alan Ruck keeps like fighting back, and of course he's going to win because he's like a grown fucking human adult, right? Fighting like an alleged teenage girl. How just like, I guess, the tenacity of the butcher character still ends up killing him, which was like satisfying sort of, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that was like a good moment of the butcher tries to kill him two times, and both times he's able to like overtake her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the third time when he gets smacked in the head and then he gets like fucking split in half by a table saw.
That was just funny.
Getting memories of when we were in college.
Traumatic.
Yeah.
Memories.
We knew a guy that sawed his fingers off.
Not off. Just through.
Oh, through. Through.
He has it, yeah. Yeah. I still remember the sawdust and blood. So,
damn. And that's that's why you named your first passion piece Sawdust and Blood.
Sawdust and Blood. My memoir.
It's a romance piece.
Yeah. But no, I thought it was really cool to see Alan Ruck in this type of character. He tends to play the like nice guy, you know what I mean? And I thought he was cast in this to because of his past, you know, in Ferris Bueller. And then he plays like almost against type, you know what I mean? And he did a good job. He surprised me. Yeah, how well.
He's such a versatile actor. Like the second thing I remember seeing him in was Spin City.
Remember that? He's good in that.
Mm-hmm. He's like the douchey like coworker.
Yeah.
It was all good shit. Like, this movie was pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I thought so too. It was really good. All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
Let's see. I'm gonna give this one 7.5 sexy spooky bones.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting. I think I liked it more.
Oh wow. God.
Yeah. I'm going to go 8 sexy spooky bones. I honestly, I was surprised how like just entertaining it is. You know what I mean? Just on every level. I love that it had a lot. It was very smart in what it was referencing. And I thought it really did a good job of comedy and the horror aspects of it without being too, I don't know, ridiculous or something. I had a good balance of it. So I was really happy. I was surprised by it.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky
and freaky. Freaky. Yeah.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to go.